Last in our series, we've been going through last several weeks on disciplines for a deeper spiritual life. And so we'll begin reading at 1 Timothy 4, and read just two verses, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blessings of your word, the blessings of the fellowship that we can enjoy around your word, Lord, and in fellowship with you. We just pray you would continue to help us to understand these truths as we seek to draw closer to you. You may help us and bless us and transform us into your image each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've been studying for the last several weeks, we recognize that God's plan and purpose for us as believers from the moment of our justification, our salvation, to the moment of our glorification is to transform us, to consecrate us, to conform us to the image of God's dear Son. That it is a process that is as much His work as was our justification. That we don't make ourselves righteous, that He makes us righteous. It's by His grace through faith. And so we're changed based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and based on faith in that, our sanctification is His work, and we can't boast in what we've become as Christians, that it's some that are, we boast only in the Lord and what He has done. But we recognize that God has called us as believers in this process to develop certain patterns, certain disciplines of life, and as we do these by faith, they're the means by which God imparts His grace to us. We looked at many different things about learning to be still, meditating, not as kind of what the world kind of defines meditation, but what the Bible defines it as. Learn to be thankful of reading and studying the Word, getting it in us, praying and fasting, and worship and fellowship and rejoicing. And with all of these, we saw that they're means to an end, they're not an end in themselves. But as we, by faith, make them more and more a part of our lives, our mind is renewed, the Lord does His work in us, and our growth and profiting will appear unto all. And so as we conclude this series, what I want to focus on this evening is our motivation for developing these disciplines. Because as we've studied, I think all of us recognize, well, these will definitely be beneficial to us, that they're going to help us in our walk with the Lord. And we see, just as this verse that we read, that if we exercise ourselves unto godliness, that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That it's something that we want to be exercised in. That we look at it as that, as an exercise of building up strength. That we're putting the flesh down, we're bringing the flesh under subjection so that the Spirit might reign in our lives. And that it is something, just as physically we think of, we'd want to have maybe a goal in our life. Well, I want to be able to run a mile in a certain amount of time, and you could try it the first time and find out, well, boy, I was way off, and just totally give up. But the thing is, if we realize, well, it's through exercise, it's through practice, just the same as you might want to have a goal of being able to do 70 push-ups, one after another, and the first time you do it, you only can do 5, and then you collapse, and you realize, okay, well, I need to keep trying, I need to continue on it. And that's the idea of godly exercise, that it's something that's not going to be easy, but we realize that it's beneficial to us. And we recognize as well that these are things that God commands to us, that He wants us to do this, and we want to show our love to God, our commitment to Him, by keeping His commandments. And we know that His commandments are not grievous, that they're not something that's like even though it can be challenging, it's not something that's going to be in that sense that it's too difficult to do or that it's too hard on us, that it will be to our benefit in the end. But it's the idea of getting started and keeping at it that can be difficult. Because we recognize that our sin nature realizes if we establish these things in our life, if our relationship with the Lord becomes stronger and stronger, the flesh isn't going to have its day, that its days are going to be numbered, that it's not going to be able to be indulged as it once was. And so our sin nature will fight tooth and nail, try to keep us from getting started. And if we get started, it'll want to hopefully get us to get frustrated so we give up. That's the problem is we seek to develop these things that our own worst enemy is ourselves that wants to fight against it. And so we want to learn that we continue on, that it is a process, it doesn't happen all at once. And it's the same as when we sow seed, that we plant it in the spring, and we don't expect, if we plant in May, to get it in June. We wait till fall, till the harvest, that the crop doesn't come right away, and that it comes in time. It's the same with sowing of the Spirit. That it speaks of that in Galatians, that if we sow the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In verse 9 it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That we do what the Lord commands us to do, we do it by faith, and we may not see the results right away, but we know that as we do it by faith that there will be results in time. That sometimes when we see that we have something that needs to change in our life and we start to make changes, sometimes we can actually find things don't get better right away, things actually seem to get worse. Especially if we say we have a relationship with someone that isn't it should be, we want to get it right, sometimes it gets a lot worse before it gets better. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And there needs to be that patient continuance in well-doing. Someone has pointed out some in our lives that I think is very helpful, that especially when we think of when we're first saved, and if we know of a young Christian, that it's advice to give unto them, that of course before we're saved we're sowing to the flesh and we're reaping of the flesh through our lives and facing some of the consequences, but when we're confronted with our sin and with the consequence that it is, that we turn to the Lord and we're saved and we start sowing to the Spirit. But the thing is that the harvest of our sowing to the Spirit doesn't come right away. And we need to be patient and continue doing what's right. Because what's going to happen is we're still going to reap some of what we've sown of the past life. But if we keep at it, that eventually that harvest is going to diminish and we'll get the better harvest in afterwards. But what can happen a lot of times, a person can, as they start out, they see, well, things aren't changing right away, things aren't getting better, and then they say, well, I'm just going to give up. And so they go back to sowing of the flesh. And then what happens is the sowing of the Spirit that they did, the harvest of that starts to come in, but then they get kind of confused and think, well, it doesn't matter what I do, that things are just going to happen anyways, but then of course what happens if they only sowed a little bit to the Spirit, that harvest is eventually going to end, and then they're going to have the evil harvest once more. And so we want to be wise in that we keep sowing to the Spirit, that we do not get weary in well-doing, we do it by faith, that there will be a harvest in time, and we can be assured of that when we sow to the Spirit, there's not going to be a crop failure. There's not going to be somewhere it comes up short. When we sow to the Spirit, the Lord promises we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so it's something that we see with these things and we want to make a part of our life. We see that we need to do it. We want to do it. But we ask, how do I get started? How do I keep going? And I think it's helpful if we remember what motivates us to make these things a part of our life, why we do what we do, that any kind of difficult thing you go through, that if you have kind of a hope at the end of it, if you have kind of a purpose behind it, you know that it's you can kind of make it through. It helps you to sustain you, encourage you. That you say if you're working at a job and the job's not very enjoyable, but you know, well, I only have so many days at this job, this will help pay the bills, I'll just kind of make my way through it, and then I'll be done. It helps you keep going, helps you to have the right attitude. And we realize with the things of the Lord, that it isn't just a matter of just slogging along and enduring and not having any joy, that as we do it, that the Lord gives us joy, gives us assurance, gives us help all the way through it, that it's not just a sullen duty, but a joy that we can have as we serve Him. So, as we think about these things, I want to give you a few thoughts that I hope will be a help to you as you seek to make these disciplines a part of your life. And one, we make these disciplines a part of our life to prove God to be true. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1, Apostle Paul writes, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we recognize with our Christianity that it is not and it should not be a mere philosophy. It should not be something that's only theoretical. It isn't something that we look at the scripture and we read what happened and says, well, it could have power in my life, it could make a difference in my life, but we never see it, we never experience it ourselves. That we don't want to look at the scriptures and kind of see these different promises and say, well, I think that's true, but we never try it out. That there's actually different times in scripture that God calls us to do something. He challenges us to prove Him. And we see in this passage where He says that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That God has a will for our lives, that it is... You kind of think of it just kind of the progression that sometimes, of course, we think what God wants for life is not what we want, and so we kind of turn against it, but we realize first that it's good for us, that it's going to be beneficial, even though we may not understand it. If we follow Him by faith in what He's leading, we know that it's going to be good for us. And then it's one of those things that sometimes things are good, but we don't want to take it. It's kind of like medicine that tastes bad, that kind of like Buckley's. It tastes awful, but it works. That's what we know it's going to do us good, but we really don't want to take it. But then as we do it, we find that it becomes acceptable to us. We say, no, this is good. I see the benefits of it. I see the blessings of it. And then as we get to the end, we see that it's perfect. That this is just the right thing. I'm so glad that I followed the Lord in this as He led me. That's what He wants us to do, that we give our bodies unto Him as a living sacrifice. We allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we realize that God has given us great and exceeding precious promises, and that He is not a God that breaks any of His promises. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And we want to claim those promises that are in the Scripture. We want to taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to obey His voice. We want to enter into the promised land. That we see different things that are spoken of in Scripture, and we want to see them to be true in our own life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Passage there, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, that this is a prayer of Paul and of the Ephesians and to really to all Christians. Ephesians 3 and verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That as we read this idea that we understand that God is so vast, so beyond our comprehension, but this verse where it says that you could comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, that we test it out, that we see where the borders lie, that and I think that's the blessedness of it, that we go so far with the Lord, we go deeper and deeper, and we find that we haven't reached the bottom yet, that there's still more to see, that it's, and that sometimes what we think, well, God's so infinite, I can't really understand him, why even kind of try, but that's the whole thing, is the pursuit of him, is to get deeper and deeper into him, to understand him more fully. It says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we know his love to us, more intimately than anything we understood before, that we have that love of Christ manifested within us to the Lord and to those around us, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God, that we would experience that we would know that he is within us and have him empowering us, strengthening us, that I think all of us, as we read that, that's something that we desire, that we would like to see that in our life, that it isn't something we just want to leave in the realm of the theoretical, that it's just something kind of for the people that are like the super Christians, that there's no such thing really as super Christians, or like we have the idea of saints as being these ones that are we venerate, but from the scriptures we see that saints are every Christian, that there isn't this kind of upper level or anything like that, that we want to have this be a part of our lives, and we realize if the Bible teaches us that certain things, if we make them a part of our life, if they'll help us get there, we want to keep on doing that. We don't want to turn back until we've found out for ourselves whether it's true or not. That's the idea, that you have a promise of God, an assurance given unto him, that it'd be a shame not to try it out. It'd be like if you were to buy a sports car and the guy that sold it to you said, well, it goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. And you just kind of said, well, that's kind of interesting, but then you just put it in the garage, you cover it with a tarp, and you never actually try that out. That's not something we would do, that pretty well any of us, we want to test that out, see if that's actually going to happen. And it's the thing with all the promises that the Lord gives unto us, that we want to see them to be true, and we have that assurance that it's impossible for God to lie, that he isn't like a used car salesman that does all this stuff that says it's going to be so good, and then you get it and you find out it doesn't do what it said it would, that we actually find so often that the half has not been told us, that what God promises is beyond what we even expected. And so we have that as a motivation for us as we seek to make these disciplines a part of our life, that it enables us to keep going, that we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So secondly, a motivation that we have, not only to prove God to be true, but to be prepared to be used by God. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That we understand that God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, that he has put us on this earth at a certain place, at a certain time in history for a reason, that there's something he wants us to accomplish. He wants to use us, He wants to fill us with His power so we can make a difference in our generation. That for us to use us, though, we see that we need to be meet for the Master's use. That He won't fill a dirty vessel. He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. He has great plans for us. And all the things that He brings into our life, all the different trials that we face, sometimes you wonder, well, Lord, why did You put me through that trial? It's because He's preparing me to be used later on. That sometimes what can happen, we can go through something difficult and we don't understand it all. Lord, why did You put me through that? But then years later, the Lord might bring someone to our life that's dealing with the same problem that we dealt with many years ago, and we can share with them how God helped us, and that we can be a help to them. That we realize many years later that was part of God's plan for us. And so we want to understand God has great plans for us, that He wants to prepare us for that. There's things coming in the future in our lives, people He's going to bring across our path, things that are going to happen, and He wants to have us ready to be used by Him in whatever situation it might be. And He wants to prepare and cleanse our hearts so that we're ready to be used of Him. That when it is time that we are prepared on every good work. We don't know all that He has in store, but we don't want to miss out on any of it. That just the thought, if the Lord had a work for us to do, but we weren't prepared for it, that we weren't ready, that we weren't cleansed and met for His use, that He would have to pass us over and find someone else because we're not in the place that we should be in our Christian life. Or the thought as well that we'd think that the Lord might bring an opportunity across our path to witness to someone, but because my relationship with Him is not as it should be, that I'm not able to be an effective witness like I would like to be. That, and sometimes I think we find we get in a bad mood and we're just kind of not thinking straight, and then all of a sudden the Lord will just bring someone to us that kind of asking about things of the Lord, and we're just taken aback, and we almost have to, Lord, please forgive me for my sins, and try to get everything right so that then we're able to try to talk to this person. And it just, that's not what we want to do. That it's, that kind of our tendency is that we wait till kind of the crisis situation or the time where we really need it before we really turn to the Lord and really try to make ourselves ready. But what God is trying to do is get it to be a pattern of our life, that every day, throughout every week, that we're growing more and more closer to Him, our relationship is developing with Him, so that then, as soon as something comes, that we're ready, that He is able to minister through us, that we're prepared for His use, that we're a vessel unto Him, that He can use as a channel to minister His love and His grace to someone else. And so we want to be prepared. We don't want to try to, and that's, I think, so often with a lot of different things that we wait till the trial, we wait till the difficult situation to really turn to the Lord, to really focus on Him. And we just try, it's almost like we try to patch it up and just kind of make it work, but the Lord wants us to make it just a pattern of our life so that that it will be prepared, and that because we don't know what's coming, and so we can't just say, okay, well, the Lord's going to bring this person in my life at this time, and so I can wait until the day before to prepare for it. That no, the Lord wants us to be preparing every day so that we're ready, so that He can guide us, He can direct us, that we're in tune with Him, so when someone comes along, He can just speak to us, just kind of like with Philip, where He said, well, go and join yourself to that chariot, go and talk to this Ethiopian eunuch, and tell him about me. So we see that as a motivation, to prove God to be true, to be prepared and to be used by God, and motivation is for our own sake and for the sake of others. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says, 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That in our own life, that we don't want to keep failing, that the Bible speaks another place of that sin that so easily besets us, that all of us usually have this place of weakness, that the devil keeps getting an advantage over us, that we keep struggling with it, we keep giving in to temptation and suffering the consequences of bad decisions, that we don't want to continue to have that pattern where it's just failure and we ask God for forgiveness, but then as soon as we ask for forgiveness, it seems like we're doing it again, that we want to experience freedom from bondage. Sin does not need to have dominion over us anymore. And that it's not a matter of our willpower of trying to overcome sin, because really our will is a big part of the problem. It needs to be surrendered to the Lord, and that His will needs to become ours. But it's the whole process of this discipline is that we have the sin nature and we have the new nature within us. And it's necessary for us to starve out the sin nature, not to feed it anymore, to keep it down, but instead to feed the new nature, to strengthen it, to be exercised in godliness. And as we do that, we find that sin, we gain that victory over sin, that it isn't as strong as it used to be. That thing that always seemed to get an advantage over us, that suddenly by God's grace, that we have power over it instead of it having power over us. And so we desire that. And that's what the Lord wants to do it, that we can't get victory over those things ourselves. It's by His grace. And it's as we turn to Him, that as we strengthen our relationship with Him, that we give Him, we give the fight to Him and He gives us the victory. And so we desire to do that for our own sake. But we think as well for those around us that we want to be what we should be for them. To our parents, we want to be the son or daughter that we should be. To our spouse, we want to be the husband or wife that we should be. To our children, we want to be the father or mother that we should be. We want to be the friend to others that we should be. Testimony to the lost that we should be. That we don't want to be the cause of someone turning away from the things of God or getting disenchanted with the things of God because of our poor testimony, that we want to be a help to them, that we think with our relationships with our families, that we love, that we learn to be patient, that we learn to show compassion, that we learn to speak words that are going to build up and not tear down, that these are what we see for their sake we want to develop. That it's not going to come again by our willpower, because usually what happens is that we get in a difficult situation and our flesh rears up and we end up getting in trouble. But if we develop that relationship with the Lord, if we make ourselves stronger in Him, we exercise ourselves in the godliness and allow His grace to wash over us and change us, then when those difficult times come and stressful situations, that we are able to do what's right. And so that's the thought, that it's for my own sake and for the sake of those around me, I want to continue in these disciplines. I want to continue to draw close to the Lord through these things so that, as it says, that we would both save ourselves and them that hear us. And finally, one final motivation to keep us to make these disciplines a part of our life so that we would not be weary in well-doing is that we do it for His sake, because He is worth it. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. We see it says, but what things are gained to me, those I count as loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That as we seek to make these spiritual disciplines a part of our life, our pursuit is not just righteousness and spiritual growth and maturity, that those certainly come with it. But the problem is, so often we set our sights so low that we do things for a certain while because we have a certain problem that we want to get solved, a certain difficulty that we want to get victory over. And once we do that, then our tendency is, okay, well, I'm at a certain point, I can kind of just plateau with my Christian life, I can just kind of coast and I'm good. And we diminish continuing on in these spiritual disciplines. And the thing is that we think that we can coast in our Christian life, but we recognize that with the opposition of the world and the flesh and the devil against us, that if we're coasting as Christians, we're backsliding as Christians. That it's just naturally, you think in terms of physics, that kind of two forces fighting against each other, that we're making progress, but then if we stop making progress, then the pressure will be back against us, and we'll find that we're not, quickly we're taking steps backward in our Christian life. And we find as well, the errors of the scribes and the Pharisees was that they pursued after righteousness. They did many things of praying and fasting and all these other things, but they became ends in themselves. They figured, well, doing these things made them righteous. But we realize, as we've said again and again, that these things are not an end in themselves. They're a means to an end. And that end is God himself. That we pursue after these things, we do these things so that we may draw closer to him. That he is the one who makes us righteous, that we focus on a deepening of our relationship with God so that he can transform us, that we're not just doing it just to get these things and we turn away from God, that we seek after God and all these things will be added unto us, that we seek him first and have him as our final goal and we never lose sight of him, that we realize how much he loved us, that mankind had broken the relationship that they had with him because of their sin with Adam and Eve in the garden, but it was so important that he sent his son to die for us so that relationship could be restored. And he wants to share himself with us. He wants to impart himself unto us. And with such great love that he has demonstrated to us, how can we not respond to that and seek to love him with all our soul, with all our heart, and with all our mind? That, as Paul says, that anything that he had, anything that he could kind of count on and he thought was gain for him, that he counted it but loss because he wanted to know Christ Jesus, that he didn't want anything to hold him back, that he wanted not to have his own righteousness, but he wanted to have the righteousness of God, but that is through the faith of Christ, and he wanted to know him, and that he was drawing closer to him, and that should be our desire, to seek him, not for what he can give us, but just for him alone, that we pursue after God. And we see that idea, the pursuit that we see in this passage, and it's interesting the phrase there that says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That another way that we could say that would be that God got a hold of me so that I could get a hold of him. That's the whole reason that he had a purpose, that we would be conformed to the image of his son, that we would get a hold of him, that we would have that relationship with him. and we want to pursue Him. We want to follow hard after God. Seek Him by faith, being assured that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That we keep going in our relationship. That even though there's times that we struggle, like as we do some of these things, and I know with myself that sometimes you start reading the scriptures and trying to study them, and you get to certain passages and you just can't make heads or tails of them, and you almost just want to give up. I remember when I was young, you trying to pray and end up falling asleep all the time, when I tried to fast and it just was thinking about food the whole time and just didn't feel spiritual at all throughout. That it's something that we give up, but we want to learn to persist in it. That it's not going to go well to start with, perhaps, but we want to keep going. That we want to continue on. That God wants to impart Himself to us. That He wants us to experience Him beyond what anything we can imagine. That we read of different men and women of faith, and we kind of think, well, they're the super Christians. That kind of life is only for the few. But the fact is that the Lord wants to impart it to all. And it's a thought that we would pursue after Him, that we would count the cost, that we would count all things but loss, that we might win Him. And so may Lord help us with all these things, that we would continue in them, the patience, continuance, and well-doing, that we would exercise ourselves in a godliness, because we know that it will be profitable both now and for eternity. And so may we continue on these things, that we may take hold of God and He can impart Himself to us as He desires to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for who You are and what You want to do in our lives. We pray You would help us to seek after You, Lord, and You promise that You shall seek me and find me if you seek after me with all your heart. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to be motivated to seek after You for our own sake, for the sake of those around us, and for Your sake, Lord, because we know that You're worth it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 376. Take time to be holy, number 376.